Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to the American Overlander Podcast. I'm your host, Will Fowler from Venture to Rome. With me today, again, is my best buddy in the whole world, Chris from Frontier State Overland. Thanks for being here, dude.
Why, hello, Willis.
And we are back in the Venture to Rome studio, which, as Chris pointed out in the last episode, is also very close to the Venture to Rome wet bar, but we're pulling water tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to slow down.
We're detoxing for a bit. So, no fancy drinks tonight, which brings me to mentioning the sponsor of this podcast, which is Magic Mind. I don't know, what is it? An elixir? It's like an elixir shot. What would you call it, Chris?
Yeah, it's like a super secret focus, like
productivity.
Yes, I feel like we're just throwing out adjectives now.
Yeah, but they're good ones.
Yeah,
so,
they are.
So Magic Mind approached us to be a sponsor of this podcast. We said, let's talk. Let's send us some stuff. They sent us a pack. We split it. We both kind of did a test on whether or not it made us more focused during the day. And you did one with like, do I have my afternoon energy drink or not? And I did one just kind of paying attention to how I felt because I don't generally do an afternoon energy drink. And I will say that after about 3 days, I started to feel more focused and alert. My brain was, you know, less fatigued at the end of the day. So I think, you know, either I was imagining that happened or it was actually happening. So I'm going to go with it was actually happening, because I, you know, don't normally feel that way. So.
Yeah. And you know what? Like I felt like focused. I didn't feel jittery. At the same time, I still felt like I had more energy to get things done in the late afternoon, which is kind of interesting because you take it in the, like, at least I took it in the morning and it seemed to last all day.
Yeah. Yep. And I do also want to point out that the thing that we did with the proceeds from this particular sponsorship is buy a really nice bottle of bourbon,
which is now gone.
You know, on one hand, we probably killed some brain cells. On the other, Magic Mind helped us kind of regain some focus with those brain cells that we have left.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to say. But, you know, it had like a really nice flavor to it. Some of those, you know, like all natural, elixirs or, you know, tonics, you know, things that are supposed to be good for you. If it's good for you, chances are it tastes bad.
Doesn't taste good, yeah.
And I really like this one.
Yeah, I think it tastes great too. I mean, it doesn't taste like, I don't know what you would compare it to. It's its own thing, but it doesn't taste bad. So if you're interested in this, if you're somebody who needs a little more focus during the day and you're interested in something like this, there'll be a link in the description of this podcast. And thanks again, Magic Mind, for being the sponsor of this podcast. The bourbon was delicious.
And so was the Magic Mind.
Well said. Okay. So today's subject is diesel heater builds. So, oh my God, we have been building these diesel heater boxes, Chris. We had this great idea to make a video, like double your money video. It's like, we're going to do two heater builds in one video and show you two different approaches in two different boxes with the same diesel heater. And, I don't know how long we've been working on this and we're not quite done yet, even though like I'm sick and tired of filming it. So yeah. Let's talk about our diesel heaters, the good and the bad, and kind of like the misadventures of trying to do this together.
Yeah. And I think, it's important to say too, that we weren't just trying to like recreate something that somebody else did. I mean, there's a little bit of that because there's some really great videos about, yeah, the diesel heater builds. It's kind of a big thing right now.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the channels are really extending their seasons by doing this.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with the diesel heaters, you're able to get like heat that goes directly into your tent. And it's just like dry heat. It keeps the condensation, the moisture down inside your tent, all while being like nice and comfortable and cozy. And these things just kind of like sip the diesel.
Yeah. It's kind of like running a hose from your car heater. Like if you left your car running all night and you had a hose from one of your heater vents run up into your tent and you just had that warm air, it's kind of like that. So like when it works, it's pretty fantastic, which is why everyone wants to do it, because once you get a taste, you're like, ooh, that is so comfortable. Cause you know, it can be 20 degrees outside and 70 degrees in your tent all night long.
Yeah. And so we wanted to kind of like add our own little twist to it a little bit. We wanted to make like recreate some of these heaters, but maybe make some little changes to them that makes them a little bit more user friendly, yeah, or makes them a little bit more, in my case, a little bit more like transportable, mm-hmm, without like carrying. I just don't like the idea of like having a tank of diesel inside my rig.
In fact, just watched a video from Justin B. McBride at one of his first videos with his new Gladiator, and he had a diesel heater. And at some point he turns to the camera and he is like, there's diesel everywhere. I'm never doing this again.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, cautionary tale.
Yeah. And and it's like you said, it's this brand new, this beautiful diesel Gladiator, and he got diesel all over the inside of it. And I felt really bad for him because it's a beautiful build.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what my nightmare is, except for, you know, for him, it's in the bed of the Gladiator.
Right.
For me, or you, honestly, too, that that would be inside of your rig.
Yeah.
And so nobody wants to be driving around smelling diesel. Can you imagine what Kate or Elsha would say?
Yeah, they just wouldn't go.
No.
Yeah.
Or if it happened in the middle of a trip, like, we would not hear the end of it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, I mean, and rightly so, by the way. It's not like, oh, my God, my wife complains about stuff. No. Rightly so.
Yeah, but they call us on the carpet when we make bad choices.
Yeah.
They love us enough to say, that was a bad idea. Choice. What were you thinking?
You could do better than this.
Yes.
So, but what you're talking about was our approach to the build. So, which is like compartmentalize, make it very portable, make it so you can detach the hoses and things and not have them spill. And, I will say the folks over at Vever Heaters, they sent us two heaters to do this with. And so I do want to say thank you to them for sending those heaters over. They're not very expensive if you buy them just off of Amazon or off of any kind of retail site. I think they cost $130 or something like that for the heater kit. So it's not really that much more than buying like a Mr. Buddy heater thing. However, I will say that when it's all said and done, it was a lot more than $130 when we, you know, bought the boxes and all the other kind of attachments and things that we put into the boxes to try to make it fit and work. It was, I don't know, we're probably pushing on my end. I'm pushing $300 or more when it's all said and done. I don't know how much it was for you in the end, but it was probably less, but not a ton less.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I think it was a ton less, and it was because you bought something off of eBay that cost like $100.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I think mine is going to be about $100 less than yours, maybe even more, because I chose a different case than you did.
Yeah.
Which my case required more work to get it going.
Yeah, but it was a lot less expensive. Mine wasn't that expensive. So I bought the Apache kind of Pelican case ripoff from Harbor Freight. I think it's like size large. I'm not sure how many liters it is.
It's like the 4800 series or something like that.
Yeah. So it's a great case. I bought two of them actually, one for this project and one to put my cameras in, like my essential cameras when I want to travel on a plane or if I'm going on a trip and I want to keep everything like really secure and dust free. So I think they're good cases and it's a good price. I think it's $65 from Harbor Freight, mm-hmm, but yours is a lot less than that.
Yeah. So I got like the Bauer, they have like this modular, like tool chest system where the pieces, like, they latch onto each other. And so we have like, the Bauer case that we use for our camp kitchen, and it fits all of our stuff in there, our pots and pans and dishes and all that stuff really nicely. And so I found, it's a Bauer like tool kit or tool case that has all these like little, cases on the inside of it. And you're supposed to use those for like nuts and bolts and all these little things. Well, I pulled all that out and then I have a special like multi-tool thing that kind of
cuts. Oh, we'll talk about the multi-tool.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what it's called. Yeah. I do not think that's the name of it. I do want to say about the box though, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but it has the ability to attach to your other barrel box.
Yeah. Right? And that's actually what I was about to get into before I was rudely interrupted.
You're welcome. Yeah.
No, but you're actually absolutely right. And so the thing that I really like about it is that I can actually connect it to the top of our camp kitchen and it locks in place and it's super solid.
Yeah.
So
that's huge. That's really cool. So I don't have that in my box. So we'll get into your multi-tool. It is not a multi-tool. It does one thing. It only does one thing.
It oscillates.
I wouldn't call it oscillating. it's a big battery powered vibration tool. I wouldn't call it an oscillating tool. I would call it a vibration tool.
Vibrating, maybe a shimmying. It shimmies.
I don't think so.
At a very high speed.
I look at that thing and I don't think it's a shimmier. I think it's a vibrating machine.
How about an oscillating shimmier?
Look, you can tell yourself whatever you want. You bought a vibrator. That's just point blank. That's what you did. It vibrates. Although it does. Yeah, that probably wasn't the wisest thing to say because it is a cutting tool. Yes. So, okay, let's.
And you're vibrating. You were borrowing it a lot. Well,
let's move right off this subject. This is not doing me any favors. Okay. So I got the Apache box. You got the Bower box.
I should say the price. So mine was on sale for like $37.
Right. Okay. So about half.
Yep.
Roughly. Okay. And so then we bought these boxes, we bought these heaters, and then I had the bright idea of looking on eBay to see if I could shortcut the build. Cause I was like, I really don't want to do this whole thing myself and try to find everything out. Cause I don't want to, I want someone else who has already figured it out to just show me how it works the best, and then I'll kind of replicate that and make some tweaks to it. And so I found this kit on eBay that was like a diesel heater kit. And I was like, well, this is cool. And I thought, based on the pictures, this is Will shopping in a hurry and not paying attention, that it was the actual box that had already been cut and molded and all of those things in order to make room for the heater. So then all I would have to do is take the heater parts and install them in the box. And so I was really excited. It cost about $100, maybe just a little bit more than $100. And I was like, I am shortcutting this thing. This is going to be awesome. Screw you, Chris. You're going to struggle and I'm going to have it so easy. And then I was so excited when it showed up in the mail. It was like, I was tracking it and I was like, yes, today is diesel heater day. I'm going to get this box and be able to put everything into it. And what showed up was a plastic bag full of 3D printed little parts. And I was so confused for too long a time. I was confused. I was like, well, where's the box? And there's no box. I bought these things, these little pieces that you need to go buy a box for and then cut holes for. And so I really felt stupid. Number one, I wouldn't recommend that as your first step. Number two, it all worked out in the end, kind of. But it was a series of unfortunate mishaps.
You were going to say events.
A series of unfortunate, it was lemony. This is a lemony snicket scenario. So, anyway, that was like the beginning of what turned out to what something that I thought should be really, really easy being a lot more complicated and cumbersome. So that was the beginning of my build. When we came together, our first trip was to like Home Depot. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember, what were we looking for in Home Depot?
So we were looking for, basically something for the exhaust hose to connect to go through the box and exit. And yeah. So, we didn't find anything. And that was something that we found, that a lot of these diesel heater builds, it's like this thing called a through hull exhaust adapter or something like that.
Cause the exhaust from these diesel heaters gets really hot.
Yeah. And you can find some videos like online, and some of them will get like white hot when you run it on high, which I don't think we'll ever do that.
Yeah.
But, they can get really hot. So we went to Home Depot and we were looking for something that would fit these things.
To be like an exhaust port essentially through the box, through a plastic box.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we were also looking for some, some outlet things. So they come with like a 3-inch, hose.
Yeah.
That where, there's basically
like a duct, essentially, yes, a 3-inch duct.
Yeah, it's like a dryer vent kind of, but it's a little bit more rigid and it's smaller than a dryer vent. And mm-hmm. so we figured that, okay, we could get some you know, something to, you know, mount these 3-inch vents or ducts to go through the boxes.
Yeah.
Well, no, Home Depot doesn't have anything in that size. It's either way too big or way too small.
Yeah.
Mostly way too big.
I remember we went to Home Depot and we were like in the plumbing section or something, and this really nice woman was helping us and she was really trying to help us.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And we didn't know what we were doing. We were just kind of guessing and looking at stuff. And she probably brought us like 4 or 5 different options. And she was like, trust me, this is what you want. And we're like, thank you so much. She'd walk away and be like,
No, that was like a half an hour of her life that she could never get back.
Yeah. And we wound up spending a good hour, at least an hour in Home Depot. And I think we walked away. We bought a few things, but we basically walked away empty handed.
Yeah. We did go to like a, you know, AutoZone or O'Reilly's or something. And we got the exhaust wrap that we needed for the exhaust and some, what's it called? Like the exhaust gasket material.
Yeah. Like the sealant.
Yeah. And it's like comes in a tube. So we did get those things. But by then we'd already wasted like, I don't know, 2 hours.
I think at that point we just came back and had a bourbon and then you went home.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Bourbon for the road.
Yeah.
I think so. So then we went and we bought our boxes at Harbor Freight. I don't know if we did that separately. Okay. And then we had our first kind of build day where we had all this stuff. I had all my 3D printed parts that were way overpriced in my opinion. And we had some other stuff and we started kind of cutting the boxes in earnest.
Mm-hmm.
And you had your, vibrating, tool, which actually turned out to be really, really great. I had one of these tools that has almost like an angle grinder, but it's like a smaller version of that, a cutting tool, or just
kind of like a Dremel.
Point. Yeah, thank you. Exactly. It's a Dremel. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a known tool, Will. And it just winds up melting the plastic really bad.
Uh-huh.
And so I wound up trying to use that, but then just using your oscillator.
I could say something, but I'm just watching you struggle.
I really hate that thing. I really hate it. And I really hated how useful it was.
Yeah. It's like, it's called this oscillating like multi-tool. It's a Ryobi and it does, it like uses, like it cuts using vibrations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just wiggles back and forth, but it works really well for plastic.
Yeah. Like I got it for doing some trim work at home and it doesn't cut through wood like very well at all, at least like hardwoods, but
it's good for plastic though. We use it on the Hicks build too.
Yeah. It works great on plastic. It was a lifesaver. Like on my, so on the Bauer box, I had to do a lot of trimming. It has like these ribs on the inside that hold the boxes that are like the little boxes for like, you know, nuts and bolts and things like that, that I had to cut them out.
It's like, it's like ribbed on the inside, basically. Yeah. You had to cut that ribbing off so you could actually close the box over the diesel heater. Because the diesel heater doesn't sit down all the way down in like one half of the box. It takes the other half, like it needs clearance on the lid that comes down so it'll fit. So you did a lot of cutting there. I didn't have to do any cutting for that stuff. I had to do a little notching around the edges, which you had to do as well.
Didn't you have to cut off a latch too?
I had to cut off a latch. Yeah. Just to kind of, make room for one of those, ducting holes. And so we get this thing, we kind of get it cut up and that was like the end of night one. Mm-hmm. So here we are, we've got 8 hours so far invested into this project and the only thing we have to show for it are like holes in boxes. That's it. And
plastic dust and stuff like that all throughout your garage.
So much plastic and shavings of things. And so then we had a bourbon and you went home.
And Elsh is like, so are you done? I'm like, oh no.
And I was like, oh, we're gonna get this done. I was like, Chris is gonna come over, Kate, and we're just gonna finish it today. She's like, okay, great. And she says, I think she wants to believe me. You know, I think she really wants to, but she knows better.
Yeah. So
it's not like, oh, sure, honey. It's like, okay, honey, that's great. I hope you're right, but I don't think you are.
Yeah. So that's so true love right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Day three then, and I think this is like the following week. You come over and it's like, okay, we're going to get this thing finished. And so then we do the rest of it. We do the,
we saw like the air intake port.
Yeah. the exhaust port, which we had to wrap it. We had to seal it. We had to get everything, you know, kind of put into the holes properly and sealed.
Yes. Which, by the way, if you're working with exhaust wrap, make sure you wear gloves.
Oh my God. That's right. Yeah. You started with no gloves.
Yeah. And, like you have to get it wet to wrap it super tight. And,
it's full of fiberglass or something, right?
Yeah. It's like all fiberglass. Yeah. And
not good.
No. And so I'm like, huh, this is really...
Chris gave himself cancer.
Yeah. And like, you know, hands of 1,000 slivers.
Yeah.
And, but you know, I survived and, but yeah, so anyway, just a little tip there, yep. Wear gloves.
Yep. And I do like that wrap though. I think it, is good. It's made for automotive stuff. So I think it's definitely good enough for this little diesel heater. And then, we went to work on the electronics and I was soldering stuff and I am a very mediocre solderer. So I did things like just stupid things, like stupid things. Like I would solder the wires and then realize that I hadn't put the shrink wrap on. So I had to like unsolder everything and slide the shrink wrap over and resolder it. And just, I remember I did that once. I like forgot to put the shrink wrap on or the heat shrink and I had to unsolder it. I put the heat shrink on, I resoldered it. And then I realized I hadn't put like the connector cap for this electrical piece that was installed. So I had to take it all off again. And I was like, man, you need to be smarter. Yeah, so,
which by the way, that's the first time I'm hearing that you did that.
I didn't tell you. That's why I was over there for so long soldering. I was just doing it wrong 3 times in a row.
I figured it was your extreme attention to detail.
Yeah. Everybody knows me for that. Yeah. Everybody is like, oh yeah, Will. Oh, there's lots of detail with that
guy. He's like a watchmaker over there. Yeah. He's putting the little dials in. That's and, not me. And winders.
I should not even have a solderer. I shouldn't even. I shouldn't be doing any kind of electrical work whatsoever. You shouldn't. That's how fires happen, basically. So anyway, so I'm doing the soldering stuff. We get everything connected as it should be finally, and then we go to work on the fuel pump and mm-hmm. getting that all connected, which was relatively simple and easy.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
And so then we're ready to test these things out. We've got the fuel in. We've got the electric stuff going. And we plug it in to our idle 500 watt batteries, which should be plenty of power.
Mm-hmm.
And we get this error code, E2. And yeah. I'm like, oh, E2 Brute. And so, come on, that was good.
So, that's pretty great.
So then you plug yours in, same thing. We plug both of them into your battery because you have a 500 watt battery as well. Same code.
Mm-hmm.
We take them out. We plug them into our...
Oh, we tried switching controllers.
That's right. We did. Yep. We tried switching controllers. Then we took them out and we plugged them into our Jeeps, into the... we both have 12 volt like cigarette lighter adapter things in the back of our Jeeps. Same code, E2. And now I'm just mad. I'm just angry. And so I try turning on the Jeep. And when we turn on the Jeep, they start up. And it's like a miracle. It's like, like it's working. Oh my God. It's working really, really well. And we're just like so excited. It's like, yes. We like, my tent was open because I was airing it out from our shakedown trip.
Uh-huh.
And I ran it up through the window and we were just like, oh, this is what it feels to have hot air coming in the tent. And we were just like,
yeah, it feels great.
It does. It does. It feels wonderful. We're so excited about it. But there's this underlying problem, which is like, it only works when the Jeep is running.
Yeah. You can't like just run your rig all night long.
Yeah. So, we tried it. We're like, well, maybe it just needed extra watts to start up. And then we can, you know, once it gets running for a bit, we'll just switch it over to one of these mm-hmm. portable things. Or just, I think we even tested it, just turning the Jeep off and letting it still run off the battery power, but just not off the alternator.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you have to like prime them before they really get going. So
right.
There's like,
yeah, this, yeah. There's a little prime thing.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, it's been primed. It's been warmed up. Let's try it, you know, on some of these other things.
Zero luck. Zero luck. So
E2.
E2, more bourbon, more E2s. And so then by this time it's 12:30 at night, the night before your birthday. Remember you came in here and I was like, happy birthday, man. And you're like, what? I was like, yeah, it's 12:15. Oh, it was. Bro.
Like, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yep. And so we called it good. And I then sent an email to the folks over at Vevoir and they replied with a video that basically said, E2 means, the code E2 means too much voltage or not enough voltage. Mm-hmm. You can get an E2 code if you don't have enough voltage or if you have too much voltage. That's why you would get it. Other reasons would be that your power cord is more than 6 feet long, mm-hmm. which that makes sense because you lose some power along the way, which ours are not. But they're not longer than 6 feet long. And a couple other things that just when I watched it, I thought, well, that's not, I don't think we're in any of those categories. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. You got me a Vever heater for my birthday this winter.
Oh, for Christmas. Yeah.
For Christmas. Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And same code, same exact problem.
Yep.
It ran when I had the Expedition Voyager camper from X-Grid Campers. I had that for about 3 weeks this winter because I was doing some testing and making some videos on it. It ran off of that. That thing had two Battleborne lithium ion batteries and a Red Arc electrical management system. Mm-hmm. So I think it was getting good power from that.
Yeah.
Whereas it would not work running off of my just portable battery. Mm-hmm. So same exact thing, same exact problem. We thought there was something wrong with it, so we just kind of parted it out and used it for parts.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's actually anything wrong with it other than there's something about these heaters that do not work with the power systems that we have.
Yeah.
That's like not enough watts or something.
Or too many.
E2 means it must, you get E2 if it's not perfect.
Yeah. So
that's not perfect is the code. This is not perfect. So I even reached out to other creator friends who run heaters and I was like, what's the deal? And they're like, hey, I always use this battery. They're like, get a Blue Eddy, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, done. So I got a Blue Eddy and I tested it with that and still no luck. So I feel like there's something that's really simple, Chris, that we're missing on this. Yeah. That's like, duh, like, you know, red goes to red, you idiot, or something like that, that is incorrect because I am just totally baffled.
Yeah. And I will say like the controllers are a little bit of a mystery. Like you can watch some videos and things, but even like some of the videos, it looks like they have the same controller, but they're doing different things.
Yeah.
You know, they're set up differently. So like for priming, we had to figure out.
We just randomly started pressing two buttons at a time until it started priming.
Yeah, exactly. Because ours was different. There's like an Alpine mode, which apparently you should be running it in almost all the time.
Above 2,000 feet. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's that too. So, but, you know, the thing is that the one that came that was fully assembled from Vever, and we got that code.
Yep.
Yours, you know, that you put together from scratch, got that code.
Got the code.
Mine, put together from scratch, got the code.
Yep.
So we're on three, you know. So I don't know.
I kind of want to buy another heater from a mm-hmm. different brand mm-hmm. and see if it works just to see. Is it a Vever? Is it not Vever? I have to think there's just some switch that we're missing.
Yeah.
But I'm baffled. So I'm not trying to badmouth Vever. I have nothing bad to say about them other than I can't get their heater to work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's my fault or theirs. I have zero idea. Mm-hmm. I do know that other people have figured this out. Like everybody I know has a diesel heater and they love them and they work just fine. They all say that they're a little finicky.
Yeah. But
this is beyond finicky. This is just like non-operational.
Yeah. I will say like when it's running, it runs great and even has like kind of a shutdown procedure, which, you know, it sounds like it helps take care of some of the, if you let it go through the shutdown procedure, it takes care of some of the finickiness because it's, you know, kind of cleaning it out from,
right.
you know, some of the, I don't know if you'd say like carbon or whatever inside of it. So when it runs, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm with you. Like if it does feel like there's gotta be just one little thing that we're missing.
I'm baffled about making this video too. I really wanted to make this video I mean, Rob has a video, a diesel heater video.
That's like he's got several.
Yeah. 900,000 views on it or something like that. And it's like, well, I need to get in the diesel heater video club, but I can't say that we have built this. I can't in good conscience say like, this is how you build a heater because it's not working. I will say this though. We did figure out, a fuel thing that's really, really cool. So, the idea for this is that you do not have to have your fuel tank attached to it. And if you're just kind of sliding in a diesel fuel line into a diesel tank, it gets real messy. Like when you pull it out and you're trying to pack it away, there's diesel everywhere just kind of dripping out of the hose. Mm-hmm. And so we found these quick disconnect hose things where when it's connected, so you put, you know, we have one where you want to connect it and one into your diesel line. And when you connect it, it flows. Things will flow through it. When you disconnect it, it plugs it. Mm-hmm. So it won't drip out. So that, I think, is a really cool solution that we found. But it's moot until we figure out this power thing.
Well, and I got to say, too, like the finished product... when we get like the whole power supply thing figured out, like our actual like end products are really slick.
The boxes are awesome, dude. Yeah. Like they're awesome boxes.
Very compact. Yeah,
I wish they worked, 'cause I would love to go like show them off, like humble brag, like, you know, to everyone about how cool these boxes are. Like I would love to take them to the guys mm-hmm. on our next guys outing and be like, yo, check this out. Heat all night, baby. Mm-hmm. But like, I can't. They look cool, but they don't work.
Yeah. So we just got to get that figured out. So I don't know if there's somebody that...
if you're listening to this and you know how to get rid of the E2 code or you know what's wrong with our diesel heaters and you've been like rolling your eyes at us this whole time thinking like, oh my God, you two idiots. How could you possibly have a podcast and talk about this because it's so obvious? Please let us know. Please reach out to us on Instagram, Venture to Rome on Instagram, or Frontier State Overland on Instagram. DM us and tell us what we're doing wrong. We would love to hear from you. We are either our egos are so big that it doesn't matter, or we're humble and can take feedback. In any case, we really love feedback and would love you to tell us how we screwed this up. So do that.
Yeah, and we'll also give you a shout out.
Yes, yes. If you know the answer to this puzzle, we will not only give you a shout out, I will bring you on the podcast and you can berate us live and we will record it. And
well, you can berate Will. I have a very fragile ego. So don't berate me, please.
It's like, oh, that hurts my feelings.
I have feelings too.
help us out if you know. If not, then we'll keep plugging away at it and try to figure it out. I'll have some more back and forth with the folks over at Vever until we figure out exactly what we need to do over here. So that's it, dude. That's our diesel heater story. We're getting into warmer weather here, which is, I guess, good timing for having a non-working diesel heater.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, although this year has been kind of interesting because we went from, you know, 80 degree days, like overnight to like 50s and overnight lows are, you know, like pushing freezing again.
Still snowing in the mountains.
Yeah. And then, you know, by like Friday, it's supposed to be like pushing 90.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like it's been kind of an interesting year.
I guess you're right. It wouldn't be a bad idea to have one out there.
Well, and then when we do the, glacier trip, it's going to probably be pretty chilly up there. So, having a diesel heater would be pretty great.
It would be. So hopefully we can get this fixed. In any case, thank you for listening to our rambles, our missteps on this diesel heater build. We have lots and lots and lots more to share coming up in future episodes, including some really cool guests that we're going to have on. So, Chris, thanks for nothing in this podcast.
You're welcome for nothing, William.
And thanks to all of you for listening. We'll see you next time.